there something wrong?
Just sort of, you know, thinking about tomorrow. The lawyer said that I'll probably get off, you know, probation or something like that, but he might be just saying that, you know, if I don't jump bail, I'll take off. I was thinking of cutting out to Florida tonight.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Welcome to another episode of the Sofa King Podcast, the world famous Sofa King Podcast, and don't fucking forget it.
Yo, yo.
Yeah.
I don't know how real famous we are. Can you tell on the website like where some hits are? I know we got like Michigan and stuff, but I don't know if that counts. We got world hits.
We got stuff from overseas.
That was just like hacker attempts.
The thing is, even if only people in the basement right now listen to it, that's still in the world.
Yeah.
I guess
in this room right
famous,
now,
famous in our
the
own
three
right.
of us are the most famous people in this room.
That's true.
It's fucking this legit.
Actually, I think Brent's probably the more famouser one.
Only for one square block. I'm like the Justin Bieber of downtown. It's been said. Yeah.
Can you
did you know from what I read, Justin Bieber got banned from Disneyland for punching a Mickey Mouse?
What?
Yeah.
He's such an asshole.
I didn't look it up whether awesome. I didn't like verify it.
Right.
Because I didn't want it. The thing actually said he punched a Mickey Mouse in the nuts and he got banned from the theme park. And normally when I read something like that, I immediately go to Snopes.com, which busts urban right. myths and does research. But I didn't because
you want it to be true.
I want it to be true so badly. That didn't make me like Justin Bieber less. It made me like him more. Like that was the first thing he's done in years that made me go, oh, maybe that guy's legit. That guy's Mickey Mouse in the nuts.
I saw a thing where he got put in a chokehold and drug out of a concert because he's trying to go backstage. And security was like, no, we reach capacity. And he's like, no, I'm Justin Bieber. Like, I got this pass right here. And his whole
Rick
security
James,
crew, yeah, pretty much. You know, he's like, I can't go watch the concert from out there. I'll get mobbed. You know what I mean? I can't go out there in the crowd. And so he's trying to argue
bad,
his case.
Bitch.
Like, sorry, we reach capacity. It's just, you know, it's the law for fire code. We can't have anyone else back here, regardless of who you are. And finally, he's like started to throw a stink. And someone walked up and said, oh, here, I'll escort you back there. It's fine. Just fine. And they took him by the arm. And then security came up behind and put him in a chokehold and drug him out of the place and kicked him out.
That's pretty awesome.
Losing respect, yeah.
I wonder.
So we had high respects, and now it's back down.
I think when he was getting choked out, like the arm that was choking him out had a Mickey Mouse tattoo. And then when he went to Disneyland a week later, he had a flashback and punched Mickey in the nuts.
He had shell shock, and he's
don't choke me out, rat.
I was last night. I was at my buddy's house, and he was just playing random videos, and all of a sudden, he put up a Miley Cyrus video. I was like, what are you doing?
You don't have to make up this whole story
this guy,
about
Trent?
Watching Miley Cyrus videos.
No,
you can
buddy.
Just admit you were watching Miley Cyrus
It was
videos.
Pat Holly, architect extraordinaire, is who did this. It's because he loves this Dolly Parton song. But I was like, why are you playing Miley Cyrus right now, dude? Like, and how come she's not like looking like panties on a turkey right now? Like, there's like, you know, there was a full-on band. I was like, is she going to blow all these guys at the end of the video or something? What's about to happen? Like, are they going to slowly take off their clothes, like, you know, and throw macaroni and cheese and Pepto-Bismol at each other? Like, what's about to happen? This can't be wholesome. Like, they're out on a farm, and she's covering a Dolly Parton song and doing well at it and sounding amazing. And I was like, oh, she's doing a really good job, and she's, you know, wearing clothes, and she looks nice, and it was well done. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, you know, if she just did 10 more songs like that, everything would just fade away, you know? They would forget about
her
would-be Madonna-esque, you know, Lady Gaga try at sticking her tongue out at the world constantly. She could totally flip her image if she just played 9 more wholesome videos like that and went total country.
Yeah, they all
But
all,
why did she doesn't want
do
to?
I don't know. I don't know how recent that video
is. It's
because
she's dating a black guy.
Oh, is that it?
That changed the game?
Yeah.
But no, same thing with Justin Bieber. He can get kicked off planes for monkeys and get choked. And
well, I think Justin Bieber's just unstable. I think Miley Cyrus does it tactically.
Yeah.
Like she's trying to shock the world to get people to watch her videos.
She knows.
She's very successful at it. I mean, she is living marketing.
She's following the Britney Spears model, I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she went buck crazy, running mascara, no panties in a limo, shaved head, abandon your kids. Like, she did all that, and then she's back. She's fine again.
She has a show in Vegas if you want to go check it out. She's probably kind of chunky. So,
you feel for the child, like, actors and
stars. Oh, God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, that stuff's crazy. Yeah. So
everybody wants to be famous until you get there.
Yeah,
and then you're not having fun.
Like that.
I'll tell you, it happens to me on a small scale. It really does.
It does. Within a block.
I'm like one block famous. I can't get my shit and walk out.
Every time Brent has ever seen Mickey Mouse within a block of where we are right now, he's punched it in the nuts.
I do. I do it.
Yep. So speaking of Mickey Mouse.
And then gave it a blowjob right after that.
Yeah, right away.
Yep.
Speaking of Mickey Mouse, what is our topic today, gentlemen?
We're talking about amusement parks.
Amusement parks.
As Brad likes to call it, abusement parks.
I didn't come up. You guys came up with that.
I did come up with that, but I was trying to give you some credit, fool.
I don't want credit, dude.
Fine. So.
Amusement parks.
So there's a lot.
I run you over with my Jeep because I'm a bro.
You are a bro.
Fucking cocksuckers.
Brad's just trying to get the cuss words out since we were good last episode.
Yeah,
That's just how I talk, bitch.
So there's a lot of crazy conspiracies about amusement parks that a bunch more people die in, urban legends and urban myths. So I started reading about it last night, and the coolest thing I came across right off the bat, mostly Disney-based, honestly. I had trouble escaping from Disney because there was just so much information, and they've been around for everyone. They probably kind of pioneered amusement parks. They were like carnival, like pure Ferris wheel things, but
there were smaller amusement parks, but I think Walt Disney, like,
were there parks though? There was like the boardwalk and like at the pier there'd be a roller coaster or
something. There were especially parks, like back east, there's all these weird ancient creepy amusement parks, but
well, the coolest thing is everyone says, oh, there's tunnels under Disneyland and tunnels under Disney World.
Well, they have to be.
There's not tunnels under Disneyland, though, but what happened is, there may be some little stuff.
Corridors. There has to be.
Of some sort, but not like on the scale of Disney World. Yeah. So what happened was, like, when they were building Disney World, Walt Disney was like, hey, we can't have like the cowboys walking through Tomorrowland to get to
and
where
Disney
they're going.
World is the one.
Florida.
That's in Florida. Disneyland is the one.
The Epcot Center or whatever.
The Epcot Center is sort of part of, it's actually separate from Disney World, but it's all.
They actually go out of their way to not have the image of Mickey anywhere shown, like because they wanted to separate themselves from that brand.
Right. No, but I've been there. It's really different than Disney.
I've heard it's awesome, yeah. But it's supposed to be its own thing, its own entity. But when they were building it, they decided, hey, let's just make underground tunnels so that people in dress and costumes can move from place to place. Cleanup crews can utilize these underground tunnels.
They're called utilidors.
Yeah,
that's right.
So they built the entire place. And what's so cool is because of the gradual incline that they built on top of these quarters, they didn't even really build them underground. They built them at ground level. But the slow incline that they made and the perspective of the buildings that they created, you can't really tell that sometimes you're three stories in the air. That's what I thought was so cool. By the time you reach the castle, you're one story above ground because they made a slow incline, and the way that they build the buildings down like Main Street and those type of things have a perspective in such a way that it levels it back out for you. So at some points, like when you're standing in certain parts of the park, you're three stories in the air.
That's
crazy. So things look bigger or smaller.
Yeah, they do weird tricks like that to make things look that way, and the incline is so gradual that they can hide it. But that was a really good point they brought up. Because of that, if you walk around, like think about when you're anywhere else in the world, there is trash, gum, there's, used condoms, just bullshit everywhere.
Right.
There's thousands and thousands of people walking around in there. And like little ninja gopher mole style Disney people are popping out of holes, grabbing a bag of peanuts and scurrying back down in with their dustpan in real time, watching cameras, keeping the park clean. And I thought through those tunnels. And so are the actors that have their dressing rooms and whatnot.
One of the interesting things, I never thought about it, but when do they do garden work and stuff at Disneyland?
It's got to be after the park
closes.
It's at
night. Yeah, it's literally at night. That's one of the things I read. They have like lights and miners, lights and stuff that they go out there and prune the bushes and pull the weeds. And I was like, that's crazy. I never ever thought about
that. Think about it.
They do all that stuff at night. All the cleanup, all the painting, any type of refurbishing, scraping the sidewalks and, you know, under tables.
There's no gum. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's no gum. The handrails are clean. Like, everything is painted. It's always kept up, done at night.
And everything, Disneyland is really quite amazing to me. And it, I mean, it speaks to, it's so meticulous. Like, to get it to be the way it is, they have to put in so much effort. And on little things, like as I was reading about it, little things I never would have thought of in a million years, like they don't sell gum at Disneyland.
Oh, they don't.
They don't sell gum.
Oh, they just don't
because
sell it.
They don't want you to have gum. They're not right. going to ban your gum.
And you don't
but
even
not
notice
gonna
it. They
sell it.
All kinds of candy.
All kinds of candy, whatever, but they yeah. will never sell gum because then that's just going to encourage kids to chew a bunch of gum and spit
Stick it
out
it
on
under
the sidewalk.
Table.
It's
yeah.
like it's like just little things like that. I'm like, I never thought about that, but that's a really good
yeah,
idea.
Because I don't think I've been to Disneyland a ton of times and I've never stepped in gum.
You know what's amazing that you don't notice? It's like one of those things you just don't think about. In life, in the world, do me a favor and just look down next time you walk on a sidewalk. Sidewalks and streets are covered in gum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who are these assholes that no, are spitting
like
their gum on the ground?
Jackson yeah. Pollock painting. It's yeah. just like little yeah. colored dots everywhere on yeah. the side. It's like,
I spit gum on the ground every chance I get.
Clearly.
I'll spit gum outside, in the middle of a street. Like in the street where people shouldn't be walking anyway, but I won't spit gum
that's
on a
an
fucking
asshole
sidewalk.
Move.
Really? In the street?
Like center, street center, not an intersection.
He like made it a point, like I'd walk out there and drop it and then walk back off into the side.
You put it in that little hole in the man cover. Right. And yeah. drop
but
it
realistically, I don't chew gum often and I swallow.
We know.
If I not, have to, you do if, not swallow your gum.
Yeah.
No.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
Why is it?
What's it's wrong okay with when you're seven.
You're going to poop it out. I don't have like a giant
it
gum.
It sticks to your ribs for 7 years.
I have a second stomach full of gum.
Brent doesn't poop.
Yeah. That's right.
Because I'm so efficient. Yeah. No, but the sidewalk out front's covered in gum. It's crazy. Yeah,
that's because it's downtown. Spots, yeah. Downtown people suck.
But there's no gum at Disneyland.
No gum at Disneyland. That is a cool fact. No, they have to really go in the extra mile to keep the facade and the whole experience of everything. You know what I mean? Like
right.
that there's shade, yeah, that there's misters, that it's comfortable, that it looks magic, that you don't see these extra doors and the things that make it. They even have a special paint, and I think it was called Gone Green. They have their own color of paint that is like this formulated perfect green paint to make things fade away into the background. So like it is the color of the mixture of the leaves or something weird so that they paint lots of things. That's why all their handrails, the light poles, speakers that may be up in trees, it's all painted that very specific color. And I think
you
it
can't
was called
see it.
Gone Green. Yeah. I mean, you can see it, but when you're just looking around, you don't see it.
It's like your consciousness never tracks it.
You don't pick it up.
Right.
It's just, they probably did studies.
It's a neutral,
sure.
Neutral color. Your eyes don't.
So
it doesn't pop.
That's one of the cool things that we talked about. Some of the other things that they do to create that environment that's more like some people might call it conspiratorial, but it's probably just like social engineering. They actually made something called the Smellalyzer or the Smellitzer, I think. Uh-huh. It was
Smeltzer.
It's actually pronounced, I want to say Smellalyzer, but I remember reading the spelling and it was called like the Smeltzer or something like that. Yeah. Now you messed me up. What did I say before that?
Smellalyzer.
Yeah. Something weird like that has smell in it. Yeah. But when you're walking down past the bakery and whatnot and you smell chocolate chip cookies and fresh baked bread,
they're
and
not
all
even
that
making
stuff,
that stuff.
They don't make it there.
Yeah.
They don't make it there. They have special pumps throughout the park that pump out scents that they project over 200 feet. And then, like, inside rides and stuff, there's special vacuums that pull the scent back out of the next room so that it doesn't coincide with the wrong part of the experience. So special smells for Pirates of the Caribbean, like on the California Adventures, like when you're flying over, like, orange orchards and whatever in one of the rides, they put citrus scent in there. But the weird thing was the cookies and bread really made me go, whoa.
That is crazy. Because I knew, and I had known this for a while, that on Main Street – they pump out the scent of vanilla generically because it's comfortable. And I knew that at Christmas they switched the vanilla to peppermint.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I didn't.
I noticed that.
I didn't know they did it to the entire park with vacuums. Do you know how much money that must have cost?
Yeah.
Well, that's why the ticket to Disneyland is $160. I mean, like, you got dudes running around picking up pieces of trash and pumping
people
smells
pumping
to you.
Out fake but, cookies at but, you. It's like
that's pretty awesome, though, because no other park does that. And they... Oh, actually, I don't know if any other park does that, but I know that
some people probably follow suit, but they might not have any money to do it.
How much does that add to the experience, though, when you're walking right, through and you just smell this glorious smell, you know, and you're like, oh, man, this is the best smell I've ever smelled, the coolest looking place I've ever been, you know, and
the question is with food. It's I remember several years ago when I still ate meat, I was at Albertsons and I was back by the meat counter and it smelled like this smoky, like they were cooking something I was getting some fish or something. And I asked the guy, I was like, what is that smell? Do you guys cook stuff back here? And he was like, no, we don't cook anything. And I was like, what's that smell? And he pointed to a little fucking potpourri thing plugged in on the back counter.
Meat smoke smell.
And I was like, what's in it? And he said, we just fill it full of water and we pour in like a tablespoon of liquid smoke and then we plug it in and it makes everybody smell this like smoky barbecue smell and then it increases sales. So if you're ever at Albertsons in the meat section and you smell this smoky smell that makes you want to buy more meat, it's just a fucking potpourri thing with some liquid smoke in it.
I wonder if that's company-wide or a crafty manager.
He made it sound like it was a crafty manager because I've never smelled it at any other Albertsons except for that one. But it's like I wonder how much that increases sales. If you're walking past that bakery and you suddenly smell this amazing fresh bread.
Cinnamon roll or
you're
something.
You're
going to
be like, oh, shit, that smells like legit. And you're going to go in there and spend $12 on a cinnamon roll. It's like how much money is, or if, I mean, whatever, you know, you smell cotton candy all of a sudden and there's a cotton candy store that isn't making
the churro machine, you know, like,
how much money are they? I promise you they're making money because of it or else they wouldn't have installed it in the park.
Smells are a huge part of experience and memory and nostalgia for sure. Like I know still that like one of my comments is, oh, it smells like Pirates of the Caribbean when there's like this slight hint of like chlorine and
gunpowder
mustiness or something. And smoke and fog machine or whatever that is. I've had several occasions in my life where I'm like, that's weird. Something smells like the Pirates of the Caribbean right now. And that's what it immediately invoked, that memory and that experience. And I've had it happen lots of times. The other one is a Rollerama, which is a local skate rink that, you know, there used to be like skate parties and you go roller skate.
Musty children.
It smells like, you know what it is? It's
musty children
old carpet,
and rubber on
hardwood floors, nachos and pickles.
Rubber.
It's just this weird, rubber. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, there's a very distinct smell that that combination of things has.
It smells like molested children.
Man, you always go there.
Everybody just stopped.
Yeah, quiet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Pope.
Molested children. Yep. Okay.
It's the Pope. Yeah.
But no, I didn't know that they fully pumped it everywhere in the park and that they fully like vacuum it back out so that the scent doesn't.
Well, yeah, you cross a line. Yeah, you don't want to get into the, you know.
And you would. I mean, it's like I want people to buy baked goods near the bakery. And if you walk a block up Main Street, I want you to buy cotton candy. I have to somehow kill the bakery.
We should do a test and actually go there and like see if we can see where a smell stops actually.
Supposedly, you know, 200 feet. I don't know if the vacuums are outside, like the that pull the smell out. They might have fans or something.
It's probably underground or something like
that. Well, no, I mean, in the rides for sure, they evacuate a specific area so it no longer smells like that, so you move on to the next. But I don't know if, like, outside on the walkway and the open environment that they're vacuuming the smells out, I think they know that it will only make it 200 feet based off of
something.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
It might just be that's how far they'll go, but, like, based on the solution that they release in the air after 200 feet, it's going to break down and you're just – not enough parts per million for you to smell it.
I'm going to spray paint a bunch of those car scent Christmas trees green gone and hang them up and mess them up.
I think on every Tuesday morning we need to like disperse Sofa King smell what's throughout the world to make everyone go, that smells good. I should listen to the Sofa Kings.
It's coffee and whiskey.
Yeah. And
a little bit of toothpaste.
A little bit of mold in the Fight Club basement.
Oh, man. Yeah, it just makes your throat like.
Yeah, if you're a Scientologist, we employ you. Go for it. I would like to, speaking of whiskey, like to say that my highlighter that I use on my notes broke during the break.
It didn't break.
Well,
it's dried up.
It made pink light scratchy marks. It's a pink highlighter, by the way. I'm totally solid on that. I'm okay. I'm manly enough to use this.
Yeah.
But I remember that when I was little, I would take my Crayola markers and put like water in them and shake them up. Water I had not. I used whiskey, and it worked great, and I have a bold pink highlighted line now. So
I can confirm.
Probably,
I can confirm.
It's probably
going to
dry up,
this.
Though, because of the alcohol you just put in it. So, like, the next time you go to use it next week, it's just going to be completely
dry.
They
smell all crazy. I would imagine. It's sealed. It's, like, airtight with the exception of the sponge.
The thing
it's
is, if it's,
right. it's, gonna
if
keep
it's
it
dry next week,
Well, no.
You should just buy more highlighters because that's cheaper than the whiskey you're pouring into. Yeah,
wasted.
I'm going to make wood grain textured highlighters that have the scent of whiskey with real whiskey infused. That's my new product.
Then you're just going to have children sucking on their highlighters.
Whiskey writers, yeah.
So we can talk more about Disneyland. I don't know if you have more stuff, we've got, like crazy stuff.
What's more, some more Disney madness.
Dave would like this one. You know the tree of life at the Disney World or whatever, that ginormous tree?
It has evil roots.
Has all the animals sculpted into it. It's like super huge.
I don't know.
Well, it houses like a 140-person theater. It's to represent animal and environmental preservation, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's actually like endangered animals in that area. And it's to symbolize the preservation of animals, though. But during the structural design of it, they were trying to figure out what will resist wind. They need it to sway and move like it has to hurricanes in Florida.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out how could we possibly build this. And one of the guys was like, you know what can withstand all that stuff that's earthquake-proof and hurricane-proof is oil rigs.
An oil platform.
Yeah, so they used an offshore oil platform to build the giant tree of life.
Yep.
And there's a video online from Disney that you can watch the building of it, and it shows they use an offshore drill platform, and then it just starts getting covered up with tree bark and cool animals and
leaves. I thought that was cool.
That's so crazy.
Inside, is actually the thing that probably disrupts all the animal life in the world.
Is that in California or in Florida?
That's the one in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, the tree of life isn't in California. It's in Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've never been to Disney World.
They were saying that'd be something like a vegan restaurant with made of animal carcasses. Right. Or something. So it's kind of funny. I mean,
it's like the Rainforest Cafe, but it's all vegan. Right. It has animals everywhere. And
right. Yeah.
It could be the reduce and reuse, though. They repurpose something to make it, more natural or something.
Well, I bet you everything that thing's made out of is probably oil based. So.
It's just steel. I don't think it was a used oil platform, was it? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, they might have bought it used.
No, I think they just because it wouldn't. There'd be some environmental contaminant or something weird.
Why? Not when they built that. No one cared about the environment in the 60s.
I don't know what year it was. If it was,
they're probably. It's probably actually a working platform that's actually drilling oil.
That would be way cool.
And Disneyland is awesome. Just this covered up, like actually oil, like it's a giant oil field just covered by these buildings and they're just drilling and drilling. And they found this huge oil, reserve underneath Disney World and they're just killing it with oil.
So some of the other stuff we saw, like there's the dark side of Disney, but it's hard because we're talking about theme parks. We could do a whole nother show on the dark side of Disney as far as
movies. It wasn't very cool. Like the stuff that was like, oh, it has the underground corridors. I'm like, yeah, it has underground corridors. Of course it does.
Right.
It has to.
Right.
What's so crazy about that? Nothing.
I think it's like, oh, they're going to pop out of a tree and snatch you and take you away. Like, oh, an empty stroller. What happened there? But
I don't know.
Just anything mysterious and unknown that you're, I guess you can actually take a tour of that. If you're over the age of 16, you are allowed to schedule a paid tour of the underground corridors.
Yeah. Cause all it is service corridors.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So
that's what I don't get. What's so interesting about it? Of course, they have that for people to transport things and move stuff and trash and garbage.
I do
bins
find it interesting that the one in Florida, they built the corridors at ground level and then built everything on top of it.
That's
crazy. That's a feat of engineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
an engineering feat, not like some crazy, like, oh, there's these secret passages.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, Magic Mountain during October, if you go there, they have all these haunted houses.
Right.
Well, they're all underneath in these doors and pathways.
Under Magic Mountain?
Nobody says anything about that. Yeah, it's like like you line up and you go underneath this ride, underneath this staircase, and
that's cool.
It's a haunted house, So
yeah, most I kept wanting to find creepy conspiracy. Most of the creepy conspiracy stuff is tied to like subliminal messages and sex and pornography inside of the films. Walt Disney himself was tied to the director of the FBI, and he allowed them to do like weird things in the scripts and the wording and during a certain time during his reign.
They trying to find pedophiles, or was he a pedophile?
I don't know how he would turn in people he thought were supposed communists, and in return, the FBI had all access to the park, and could like had control over the scripts, it kept saying. That's which weird. I think meant like what they say at the rides or something weird.
Probably the animatronic stuff.
Yeah, like I don't know why the FBI would want to control what it said. I mean, weird mind control stuff, I guess, but that's not usually the FBI kind of thing. So. Yeah.
Well, if you go listen to Robot Lincoln and you walk out of there and you feel like all super patriotic and because he just fucking like broke something off, it's like I could picture J. Edgar Hoover making Robot Lincoln say some dope shit.
Lincoln always breaking it off.
Breaking it off in that ass.
The one of the worst things I could find as far as like not involving someone dying was the costume underwear sharing. Did you guys see that?
I saw something about that.
So
it doesn't sound good, though.
In an effort to remain consistent and have, you know, a measurable standardized costume, they don't want people wearing their own underwear for fear that, you know, if you don't draw a line, maybe under Cinderella's dress she has a G-string, and if the wind blows just right, it blows up and you're going to see her butt cheeks, right? Or in Goofy's back, someone might see some Fruit of a Loom or Hanes.
Right.
Because of that factor, they wanted to be able to control all the variables, so they required everyone to wear Disney-issued costume underwear. So when you got to work, if you're Goofy, you have to wear the Disney underwear that apparently have been laundered. You just grab your size from the busket or whatever.
Yeah, but as clean as Disneyland is, I would trust their laundry.
Well, here comes the problem. There was pubic lice outbreaks because of the shared underwear and shared costumes. And there was actually a lawsuit against Disney demanding that they can wear their own underwear, because although at the end of your sweaty shift, you would drop your underwear into some laundering basket that would go off to magical washing machines, it apparently wasn't happening. And there was complaints of, you know, smelly, scented, you know, things had not been washed properly, that it wasn't being done right. And there was outbreaks of pubic lice, amongst other things.
How sad is that when you go to work and you got to put on your underwear?
You gotta put on someone else's underwear.
You're looking at the underwear and it smells funny or has a stain on it.
Yeah,
like, well, you're just like looking at it, like just how sad are you at that moment?
They took it to court. Yeah, exactly. They won. They actually won, and they're now allowed to wear their own underwear.
So here's the thing about me not, and this is something I'll probably talk about later in the show when we get away from Disney, but they primarily hire teenagers.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't.
Who's like, pubic lice?
I was a teenager.
I think it's like crabs or something, probably.
I was a very responsible teenager. I was kind of like a 30-year-old man when I was like 14. And I still did stupid shit at the burger joint I worked at. And you want to populate an entire amusement park with teenagers with rabid hormones running around in underground corridors and actually expect them to properly launder the fucking underwear? Yeah. They're not going to do it.
So for the record,
I would assume that some of the people are older there, though. Like, they're not all teenagers.
No, but
like,
I know there's a big draw that's who they used to.
I googled pubic lice, and it is crab louse. And it's really scary looking. Google crab louse.
That's a tick.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking tick. It's scary. But you know, the funny image I had in my head is, what do you see when you see the Goofy guy or the Mickey Mouse guy walking around? You see a 3-foot-tall, crotch-heighted, right at the head kid walking up to get that hug.
Right.
And like to a point,
rubbing their face.
Rubbing
right
their face.
Right in the crotch.
Right all over the crabs. Getting Mickey crabs and Goofy crabs all in their face. Like literally, that's the picture you have of a kid. If you look at every picture ever taken of a kid hugging Goofy or Mickey at Disneyland, head height at the crotch, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is.
Shared underwear is all you can think.
And I did see with the mascot scenario, I did see one thing that I thought was actually really funny is the people who dressed up as the Toy Story characters in whatever section of the park that is. Who's the kid from Toy Story? The human?
Sid, is it Sid?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But whatever the kid's name is.
Wait.
The
fuckface?
Andy?
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you ever said, it used to be that if anyone, they were trained and they were told, if anyone says Andy's home, they were told to collapse on the ground and just act like toys, like they weren't animated anymore.
Oh, wow.
Except it broke on the internet that you could do that.
Everybody
kept screaming Andy's home, and then they had to keep collapsing on the ground. So now if you scream Andy's home, they're trained to say, no, Andy went away to college, and then they keep walking around at the park. That's funny. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
I guess Sid's the bad kid.
Sid's the bad kid.
That makes sense, yeah. Andy, yeah. That's actually how Sid got his nickname.
Yeah, because when you said Andy, all I heard was Tom Hanks's voice.
Right.
Andy, or however he says it.
I can't imagine how horrible a job it is to walk around in one of those fucking costumes all day.
Yeah. I guess there's really specific rules, too, about, like, they can't say no. If we looked them up, you could probably manipulate some stuff. But yeah, they can't say no. They can't point with one finger or something. There's a bunch of weird things.
Oh, they have to point with their hand
or something.
Like,
yeah,
gesture with their hand.
Yeah, they're not allowed to point with one finger or something. Yeah, they have to.
And I also
it
read.
It sounds like Disney's a control freak.
Well, you he was. You have to be though. Yeah.
And
to
for
do
a park
that.
Like that, you would have to anyway. But I also read that Johnny Depp is known to go in costume.
I've heard that.
And like. Go and like be near the Pirates of the Caribbean, and everyone just assumes it's like I guess it's
really
just something
good actor.
He fucking does.
You know what?
I think I went one time.
I went one time, and I think I honestly think it was him because like you can look like somebody, but I mean, dude looked just like him.
Really?
Like, I mean, oh yeah, like it was pretty uncanny. So I think I may have saw
it. Probably takes him like 4 hours to do that too, right? Like that. I mean, he doesn't just throw on some pirate clothes.
Yeah, no, they got to make up.
There's like makeup and stuff. Yeah, because I saw he went and visited some cancer patients in a hospital, and he went full gear like that. Yeah, and brought a pirate with him. It was pretty cool. So yeah, there's some other weird stuff. Like there's an apartment over the firehouse that was Walt Disney's original apartment.
Yeah.
It's like a little tiny apartment. A lot of people know that. There's also in the castle, I'm not sure if it's in California or Florida, there is a full Cinderella-esque like cartoon suite that originally was going to be another apartment for him to stay at, but he died before it was done. And but some people have got to stay there because it was like they won a contest or something.
Right.
So it looks like something straight out of Cinderella, though, and it's in the castle.
There's one in Florida and there's one in L.A., and one of them's in the castle and one of them's in something else, but I don't know.
Yeah,
well, the firehouse one
is
the one in L.A.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
The one above the fire station.
He also has like a whole giant apartment above Pirates of the Caribbean that his whole family could stay in. But at some point in time, they built a club called Club 33, which is like everyone thinks it's secret. It's not really secret anymore. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
But if you look, somewhere next to, was it Pirates of the Caribbean? I can't remember where it's next to. There's a just nondescript door.
No, I think it's on Main Street.
Is that what it is?
There's a door that just has 33 on it.
Yeah. It's like it looks like an address.
Yeah.
And so what it was, he knew that he would need to entertain the original investors is the story that goes. You know what I mean? So there's a couple people say, oh, it's just because that's the address on Main Street was 33 because he also died before its completion. But the intent behind it supposedly was some chef that worked there or something is that it was to entertain the original 33 investors, which are some pretty big names. Pendleton being one of them. I didn't know that. I actually have a list here somewhere of the investors, but they built a private club that you'll never gain access to because there is currently, it was closed before, but there is an open wait list of 14 years. And if you get if they call you to be on the wait list, like to even apply to the wait list, you have to immediately pay $27,000 to be on the wait list for 14 years that you may not get in. And then I think it's an annual like $10,000 per whatever.
So it's pretty much an investment perk that
and
you
I don't even
to
think
US.
You get stuff for free. I think it's still expensive food or something.
Well, that's how anything like, is. If you have a if you have a membership
club,
at a country club, you pay $25,000 for the year.
You still
pay $70 every time you go golf. Like it's,
exactly.
And you have to spend so much at the clubhouse. So that's pretty much a country club membership right there.
I just instantly get conspiracy theory paranoid and think that it has to do with the Masons if it's the number 33 because it's the 33rd degree Mason.
Actually, there's more, but yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Maybe it was Masons. Maybe they were investors that were all Masons.
Well, the address of Disneyland is also 1313 Harbor Way, and there's some creepy thing with 13 that everybody tries to imply on it, but it actually
there's a lot of 13s and stuff around Disney.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
You know why? 13 is the 13th letter of the alphabet would be M, and so it's M, Mickey Mouse or something is why they said they did that.
There you go.
That's the Occam's Razor, like, innocent version. Some of the original sponsors for Disneyland, since he obviously couldn't do that by himself, were Welch's, Timex, Pendleton, Kodak, Fritos, Goodyear, Carnation, C.H. Sugar, Bell Telephone, Coca-Cola, Sunkist, All the ones that you would like to be on there, but the one that you wouldn't like to be on there, Dave, is Monsanto.
Of course.
Yeah. Is one of the original 33 investors.
Of course they were.
At Disney. So,
why wouldn't they be? Right.
I guess like some of the articles I was reading is like when you look at this, when you like in the 60s, these were everywhere. Like that was part of their deal, was there was just like signs and sponsors everywhere.
All over the park.
All over
for
the
them.
Place. Like, yeah, you know, Tom Sawyer's Monsanto ride or whatever it was. you know, there would be that all over the place. Also, I saw some cool thing that when times were different on Main Street, there's some pictures. There was an adult lingerie shop,
right,
and a cigar bar, or that's like sweet. Cigar shop on Main Street.
Man, old Disney was way
yeah.
cooler.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And that being said, the Club 33 is the only place in Disneyland that serves alcohol. So right. if you're really hankering for a drink, you got to wait 14 years and pay right. at least $37,000.
Or you go to California Adventures yeah. where they serve beer.
Right. And then so. The beer is probably still going to be, you know,
$50
for it'll be a red cup. It'll be a red cup for $12 or something.
But the thing I was going to say, I mean, you could take a flask, but the thing is there are people actively watching for everyone to break rules.
Yeah.
And
you will be removed.
If someone catches you, they start to track you. Via camera and people, you know, just dressed as civilians and whatever. I have no idea.
I'll tell you something. Speaking of cameras, while Brad's looking that up, one of the best jobs at Disneyland for years was Splash Mountain. Because at one point in time, some girl lifted her shirt and flashed her boobs on Splash Mountain, and it became Flash Mountain and caught fire. And then after
everybody
that,
everybody started doing it.
It was a constant thing that they had to pre-filter the pictures just before they got put on the display. So they only had enough time between the picture and by the time they walked down to the ride to make sure that there weren't just boobs on the camera.
Because they're all up on the monitors.
They're up on the monitors when you get to the
bottom. I just pulled that up right now. Yeah. Good place to be a flasher.
Yeah. Yeah, so they would filter it first and like, you know, block it before it made it to the screen. I don't know that they still
did. They just cut the picture or did they Photoshop a shirt?
I'm not
Photoshopped it. Just like, bam, put the white shirt on her. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason they got out is because like employees took pictures and like posted it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we didn't find out until as of late. Right. Yeah, that was some guy's job was to clock in at 9 a.m., watch boobies all day. And then clock out at 5. You know what I mean?
My job is.
Well, even if they didn't flash, if they got a white shirt on, you're getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably censored that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, they probably did.
Because they were doing it in real time.
Just some nips all over the pictures.
Like, think of that. How much they got to pay a couple guys to sit there in real time.
Oh, yeah. To just real time. I mean, you've got a couple minutes, you know, max.
It's paying for itself. Because how much they charge you for those pictures when you get to the bottom?
Some ridiculous amount. Yeah.
$37.
Yeah. For some freaking digital picture that costs 18 cents to print.
Yep.
Yep.
For you making a funny roller coaster face all cross-eyed and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's the fun, you know.
You got any death stuff for us, Dave?
Man, I don't have death stuff on Disneyland. The two things that I found about Disneyland were, which I thought was interesting, is in the United States, Disneyland is the second highest purchaser of explosives behind the U.S. military.
Yeah, they'd have to be.
Oh, because of the fireworks.
Because of the fireworks.
Okay.
Because every night
displays.
They have massive fireworks displays, so they buy more explosive and chemicals than anybody but the U.S. military.
And there's multiple Disney parks. Like, it's not just one park.
Right, you've got more than one park.
I mean, Disneyland in Anaheim, like, that thing. I mean, man, you watch a 30-minute huge firework display. That's these.
It's probably over $100,000 easily
every night.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious what that number is.
Yeah. No, it would be massive. And then the other thing is, which I thought was really cool, is they found a way, and I know they do this in Florida. I don't know if they do this in California, but they found a way to grow a tomato in this hydroponic bed, so there's no soil, it's just growing in tubes of liquid, basically. But they build these frames so that the tomato grows into the shape of Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell, like, when you get a salad, you have a tomato that's sliced that's in the shape of Mickey Mouse's head and ears.
I think there's a whole display. My friend Adam Pedroza actually went to Florida and went to Disney World, and he said there was all kinds of cool stuff like that. Like, they have like plexiglass boxes or something that, like, you know, they grow watermelons
and
funny
shapes. They show the roots and stuff.
Right. Well, now they're one of the largest they advance hydroponic technology more than almost anybody because of the things they're doing in Florida. Right. Because all of the vegetables that they serve at the Florida theme park are grown in their hydroponic bays.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's very impressive. That's ridiculous. And they've really ramped up how effective and efficient hydroponics are, because that's a lot of shit you got to grow.
Yeah,
and they
grow
all of it out of these massive hydroponic bays that are just for the park. So I'm sure thanks to, you know, Epcot Center's hydroponic technology, there are people from coast to coast growing more effective weed in their garages.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's $41,000 per night just at Disneyland.
For the fireworks?
That's not as crazy as I thought.
That's crazy, man.
No, I know.
You said 100, that's half. I mean, yeah.
That's 365 a year. I mean, times. Yeah. I mean,
I was still ready for you. I was ready for you to blow me out of the water.
That's just the fireworks display. That's not including like the pirate show and, you know what I mean, all the other stuff that they use.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So it probably is $100,000 a night if you calculate.
So how much was it?
41,000.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty insane. So.
So if the park's open every day, they're spending almost $15 million a year on fireworks.
Yeah.
Just for that one park.
Fine. Yeah. It's Disney, though. You expect it to be more grandiose.
Yeah, as much as you pay. That's I mean, 40,000 people that get entered pay for that.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, the first six people paid for the fireworks show.
Dude, for real, man.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah,
I'll just say this. Like, but entertainment like that. I went to a hockey game a couple nights ago, and it's fun. And I've been before. But I went to the local hockey game. We're not talking about NHL or anything. I walked up to the window, and I had a $50 bill in my hand, kind of wishfully thinking. I knew it was going to be more.
You better get more money out.
Yeah, I had my wallet out. I had 50 bucks in my hand. I had more money in my pocket or in my wallet.
Yeah, Catacorn's 15 bucks.
The girl was like, how many? And I was like, I would like one adult and three children is what I had with my daughter brought her friend. And I was like, sure, I'll pay. Don't worry about it. One adult, three children, nosebleeds. And I don't pick the nosebleeds to be cheap, honestly. I pick it because there's a concrete landing up there. And my kid can run around. He's six. I don't want him kicking someone in the back of the head, and I'm in a hockey fight at the Rabobank. So
that's the point.
And my daughter, you know, spilled her soda halfway up the stairs. That could have been someone's back or something, right? Like, so that kind of stuff happens. So we always get the nosebleed seats up in the corner. She politely said, "Okay, thank you. That'll be $72."
Yeah.
$72 to get into the hockey game.
You better get some free tickets somewhere.
I had to buy three sodas at $5. And then a bottle of water for myself, that was $19. So I had $72, $19, $6 to park. And then I just refused souvenirs and food of any sort and just told them, sorry guys, $100 is my hockey limit.
The Catacorn's bomb though there. The little Catacorn booth out front.
That's carb syrup.
I know, but for the kids.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Either. So the
I got keto kids.
My real tip is if you're going and you want souvenirs, just be one of the first 500 in the door.
Well, and you got to go like on a
because then you'll get whatever the fuck is free that night.
Yeah, because my kid, we went and we took the girls and they got hockey jerseys. And then another time they got free shirts.
Yeah, you always got to be one of the first 500 and it's a free hat or free sunglasses. Yeah.
I will say tonight, the night we went, it was the first 5,000 get sunglasses.
Oh, five. Yeah. Damn.
That's cool. It was like,
how many people fit?
It said the future. Oh, tons, man.
20,000.
It was empty. It's so deceiving. It was empty. And the guy did the announcement. They always do the in attendance tonight at the Bakersfield Condors. And they go like, 5,567. And they do their crazy hockey thing. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. It was like, it was. Right. I looked around. It was opening night. And I was like, oh, it's kind of sad. There's not that many people in here.
Yeah.
And it was 5,700 in attendance.
Yeah.
I've gone on nights where it's like 12,000. And you're like, oh, my God. And the crowd roars. Shit. You know what I mean? At $18 for the nosebleeds, I don't know what those on the glass seats are.
They're like 30.
Yeah. But to spend, I think they're more than that. I think they're 50.
Maybe all the way down there. Yeah.
But to spend that expensive
It is fun,
food,
though. The local hockey games are very fun.
Yeah. It's good to go to. If you live in Vegas or wherever.
Those dudes fight. Like those dudes.
Oh,
like,
they get on it.
They have guys that they just put out there just to go beat up another dude. And then they go in the box for a little while and they go back out and beat up another guy. You know, ejections from the game.
On a spin of stuff being expensive, last time we went to Disneyland, it was like $52. I got two hamburgers, two fries and drinks or something and literally was starving. I cut a hamburger in half. And my wife and I shared like a fry and a half of a hamburger. that being said, Legoland It was amazingly affordable.
Yeah, but it sucks.
No, man. Legoland was rad.
That's like everybody goes, oh, I'm not going to Disneyland. I'm going to Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm's like 30 minutes. You've walked through. You did some games and you're done.
I don't know. My brother just took my kids and they had a blast, dude.
Yeah, no, it's not that it's not fun. Right. It's just
not
about
Disneyland.
Yeah, it's about a 32nd of the size and doesn't have the
Disneyland
majestics.
Tickets are like $98
or
something.
More than that.
Is it?
Yeah, they're like $130 for kids for
one
day.
Oh, because last time I went, I know I walked in the gate and it was like over $400 in the gate. Yeah.
Well, Steve, and he's been on our podcast a couple times, he just took his kids not too long ago. So it was him, his three kids, and his wife.
Right.
And I think they spent almost $3,000 on just the tickets for like a 3-day ticket. You know,
he might not want everyone to know that. You could, you might, we'll see, whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What's the problem?
I know, a friend of mine always buys the yearly
pass. It was $2,000. It was something crazy. Like, it was a lot.
It's a lot. A friend of mine takes his kids there like all the time. Like, they go multiple times a year and they buy the year pass. But when I was looking into Disney stuff, I saw that they were planning on getting rid of the annual pass.
Oh, wow.
So that won't even be an option anymore.
Well, because probably how many people spend $1,500 on an annual pass?
God, is that how much it is?
Oh, yeah.
Whew.
Are you serious?
I thought it was gonna be $600 or something. Yeah,
Dave
insane.
Just scoffed and is drinking his coffee.
All right, so
well, let's move off of Disneyland and go to Dismalland.
Okay,
right,
who's been
it.
There? So I don't know how many people have heard of Banksy, who's a street artist.
Yep,
very popular. Wasn't he arrested just not too long ago? I think he got
caught
doing something.
A lot.
Yeah, so he
I
has.
Thought no one knew who he was.
No, they know
they
who he
know
is.
Now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They know who he is. So and he does, like, Banksy, is it Banksy or Banksy?
Banksy.
Banksy.
B-A-N-K-S-Y.
Because he does street art that's like, he's like one of the
crazy,
biggest artists in the world right
Sweet
now. And he does
stuff.
Really cool shit. But, like, he did a thing in New York. He's normally in Europe, but he went to New York maybe a year ago and was just, you know, tagging stuff.
I mean, Dave will like these. I don't know if you've seen them.
Hold on. He was painting the sides of buildings in New York, and some of them, the building owners put security guards outside of the building because the painting was there, because they were going to cut the wall off to sell the wall to a collector.
Wow.
Because it was worth so much money because he painted on the wall.
Yeah. Like, he does crazy paintings. Like, they are pretty original to him.
So,
like,
one of the ones that Brad showed was Shamu jumping out of a toilet through a hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a definitely dark side spin on a lot of that stuff.
But
it's pretty dark.
Dismalland?
Dismalland,
And you can
Where
actually visit
it. It's in Europe, I think.
It is in Europe.
It's like this pseudo, it's a like dark side Disneyland full of weird art and pseudo
attractions.
Yeah, it's
satirizing Disney in the UK. Yeah.
But I read recently that because of the refugee crisis in Europe right now, that he's actually breaking Dismalland down to give the raw materials to build housing for refugees, which I thought was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It says here he sold, he's selling like 4,000 allotted daily tickets. They're priced less than $5. So that's pretty good. I mean, he's
that's
making
really
money
good.
On it.
Yeah.
Speaking of European Disney, Disneyland Paris had a couple suicides that are mentionable. Did you guys read that?
No.
The Disneyland Paris, a guy went home from a shift at work and wrote, "I don't want to work at Mickey's house anymore," on the wall in French or something, and then killed himself.
Oh,
wow.
But that being said, it's like the Foxconn thing. Like, the population density of Disney-based employees alone probably ends up being representative of the statistical probability of suicide.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if there's 150,000 Disney employees and two commit suicide, yes, they
would. Yeah, I'm not – I mean – I'm sure there. You could probably do some research and find. I mean,
any business,
people who commit suicide are going to be depressed, and a huge factor to a lot of people's depression is having a dead end job.
Right.
So, I mean, I think.
Yeah, how many Walmart employees?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, and
another one of the Paris Land Disney, just like a year later after that one, set themselves on fire to kill themselves. And I think there might have been a mention
at
Disney.
The park, or was it?
No, it was outside of the park.
People are like, that's
the
lifelike.
Mommy. Yeah,
but with the suicide thing, there's one other thing we did skip on the Disney thing is that there is an urban legend that at the L.A., you know, the Anaheim Disneyland, that there is there was an incident where Small World was suddenly shut down.
Small World was shut down.
And abruptly, without explanation, everyone was shuffled out and evacuated. And in an effort, they had turned on the lights and immediately started getting people off the side and walking out like, you know, oh, something dangerous had happened. In an effort to, like, just waste out her film and get pictures of Small World with the lights on, a lady just racked out her little disposable camera, like, click, 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 and just wound it out to say, oh, well, I got pictures of Small World with the lights on. That never happens. Later, when she went and developed the film, apparently there was a child hanging from the rafters or something. Supposedly, there's a picture online, and it's in a Small World, but once again, Photoshop, I don't know. It's an urban myth, but that's supposed to be a suicide that occurred at Disneyland inside It's a Small World. So that's an urban myth. There's some other urban myths. Lots of people have made it commonplace, and I guess I can't blame them, to dispose of loved ones' ashes inside of the rides at Disneyland.
It's at the Haunted House.
And Small World. A lady got caught disposing of some type of powdery substance one year, and it actually made them – it happens so often that they now receive training. Employees on the rides receive training, like hazmat training, and have specialized suits and vacuums to deal with – disposed of human remains on the rides at Disneyland.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, if people, I mean, I knew people who love Disneyland.
Oh, I've got a couple friends that, like, their license plate is,
you know,
Disney.
Yeah, and I know people who, you know, when people die and get cremated, they typically say, I want my ashes spread here or there or in Hawaii or whatever. But it's like, that's.
But the Haunted House is supposed to be haunted because of that.
I wonder if the Starbucks people are, you know, those crazy Starbucks people that are like.
Maybe. I want my ashes.
Yeah, I want my ashes
spread
in
the Starbucks.
Put me in the creamer. Just everybody gets a piece. Just every day take some of me to the
creamer. I'm pretty sure Snoop Dogg is going to have, like, weed that costs like 10 grand.
It has,
like,
his ashes
in
it.
An ounce or something.
It'd be more Cheech and Chong probably. Yeah. Like, that'd be the way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Willie Nelson. That's
so I have some of the greatest amusement park deaths.
All right, let's hear it.
So I'm just going to read through a couple of them. This one I thought was especially, well, funny in my own right, I guess. So it says, in 1997, a gaggle of 33 high school graduating seniors crowded a water slide, causing the slide to collapse under their weight. A 17-year-old died from a crushed chest. All 32 others were taken to hospitals. Later that month, this is the funny part to me, at the graduating ceremony, 17 of the students accepted their diplomas in wheelchairs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I didn't read that part about the wheelchair.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me. I was like, they got hurt.
I was going
to
say, when you were halfway through that, I was like, I'm not really finding any humor thus far.
A month later, they rolled through in their wheelchairs to get their diploma. Like, dude, they got jacked up.
When I first started reading that, I was horrified because my picture was not that the water slide collapsed and fell through and people fell out to the ground. It was that it clogged with people and there was like a people clog and that the water supply
crushed
continued,
and then they drowned.
And they just drowned in like the stuck people clog.
That's a good death.
Yeah, I had like claustrophobic like fear just thinking about that occurring. Like I was that'd be horrible.
Yeah, the
where was that? I'm going to guess it was in New Jersey.
Let me look.
The thing that sucks is the last girl to jump down, like she doesn't know what's going on down there, but it broke and fell away and then she just like zipped off out the hole straight to her death.
That one was at water slide at Water World USA, California.
Oh, wow.
That was California Water World.
It's owned by Kevin Costner. Because
when I looked at a lot, like most of the deaths and weirdness that I saw, like they all took place like on the East Coast and most of them were in New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey.
Like,
and
just some sketchy ass amusement parks. It's like
just crazy looking.
Yeah, I built a roller coaster. Yeah. You want to fucking get on it?
Get my roller coaster, boy. Yeah. An interesting fact was that the water slides have always been the top cause of theme park deaths and injuries. You think of theme parks and like crazy rickety rides or roller coasters derailing, but I guess water slides are on the top of the list for
injuries. Yeah, because I've got the stats that I see, they're pretty close. It goes steel roller coasters are the number one cause of injuries with 495 injuries per year in the United States, but water slides are 438. And then boat rides are 93, wooden roller coasters are 87, and then like bumper cars or car rides are 72.
So another park that you probably don't want to go to is Action Park in Vernon, New Jersey. And Action Park is known for one of the most dangerous, deadliest theme parks ever built. It was opened in 1978 and closed in 1996 due to injury and declining customers, obviously, if everybody's dying when they go there. Also, it had one of the first water parks in modern America. So 6 people are known to have died from rides at Action Park due to drowning, electrocution, heart attack, and face smashed on a rock.
Oh,
God. So like, these are like brutal like electrocution deaths. One of the ones I saw the electrocution deaths was a guy fell into a pond. They called it a pond. 2 other guys, a worker and his friend, jumped in to save him. Somehow the water was electrocuted. They were electrocuted, and the only guy that survived was the guy that the other 2 jumped in to save. So 2 dudes died from electrocution trying to save a guy who fell in.
They probably stepped on a light. There was probably like an underwater light that they stepped on and fucked up.
Yeah, something, and they got electrocuted. Did you guys see the one in Somerset, England, UK? It was the actual siege weapon, the catapult.
Yeah, I was like, that was real?
A wooden siege catapult.
Like straight out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, did you see that?
Like, I mean, no way that was.
Yeah, that is.
That was a real ride that they would shoot you across and you would land on a safety net.
I think it's actually a trebuchet, not a
trebuchet. Yeah. Well, that's a catapult pretty much. I mean, well, sling catapult. Yeah.
Different physics.
It's catapult. It's like stress physics. And a catapult is like a off weight thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it has the trebuchet has like the rope that flings.
This nerd moment was brought to you by the Sofa Kings.
So, anyway. 2 Oxford students apparently wanted to ride the ride and missed the net splattering on the ground.
I can't believe that was ever a thing.
So it just throws you towards a fucking net. You're just going to hope it's accurate?
Yeah.
It's just they just do the math.
So apparently 2 of them splattered to the ground to their death.
Well, yeah.
That's like a circus.
Yeah.
Thing. It's like, they shoot the guy out of the cannon at the circus and he lands on the net, but you don't line up and buy tickets for that shit.
No, I'm not the only thing that will surprise. I'm not surprised in any way that 2 people died doing that.
Yeah.
The only thing that will surprise me is how long it took between when the ride opened and when someone died.
Because
if it was more than a couple of weeks, yeah, I'm fucking amazed.
It says, it doesn't say the length that it was open.
Oh, my God.
I have a couple stats for you because Dave said, like, the whole guy just setting up his own roller coaster, like, the fair versus permanent locations.
Right.
Yeah.
So between the year 1990 and the year 2000, injuries to children that required hospitalization or they went to the emergency room, 82,000 children under the age of 18 were taken to the emergency room after suffering injuries at amusement park rides.
82,000?
82,000.
What span of time?
In 10 years. From the year 1990 to the year 2000, 82,000 children under the age of 18 were taken to emergency room suffering injuries from amusement park rides. An additional 11,000 suffered injuries from rides outside of the amusement park, such as those found at local malls, restaurants, and arcades.
That's insane.
I'm not surprised because I read a stat from the Consumer Product Safety Commission that said 4,300 hospitalizations a year. So I'm not surprised, and it's specifically from non-fixed amusement parks. So that's not counting Six Flags. That's counting shitty traveling meth head carny who put this fucking thing together.
I didn't read halfway through a bender. The math wasn't right in my head. 4,400 over 10 years should be 44,000. This says 82,000, but maybe that's hospitalization versus just visiting the emergency room.
Yeah.
A good point.
That you're quoting is of the reported 82,000 incidents, 34% occurred at locations that were considered permanent, meaning Disneyland, Magic Mountain, something like that. And 29% of them happened on temporary attractions, like fairs, carnival rides, and then 25% was just not categorized for whatever.
And then the other thing that I read, which is interesting, is that those stats are all bullshit anyway, because the state of Florida, no amusement park is required to report any injury unless it's a fatality.
Oh, wow.
I got some sex crimes for you.
The state of Florida is where it's at because Disney World. SeaWorld.
Girls are more likely to get injured than boys for some reason because they're girls.
Hmm.
You sissies.
Yes.
They're too busy. I have a couple too busy other, flashing the camera.
I have a couple
except
other,
for Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I have a couple other interesting ones. There was a this one's also in Massachusetts, so East Coast roller coaster. And the picture of it is creepy. Like, it's an old ass Derby Racer roller coaster, it's called. And it was built in 1911.
So when they sit sideways?
No, it's like it looks like Colossus at Magic Mountain. It's the old wooden.
I think that when they set sideways, though, because I looked at that.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they did. But this one's crazy though. Like it went for 30 years, but this roller coaster opened in 1911. June 8th, 1911, a young man was catapulted from the coaster and killed on impact. So it threw him out of the car. And then
June 8th is my birthday, by the way. So that's
so
a good,
that guy
is a
died
good
on
day
your birthday. It is a good day to die on that day. 6 years later, another guy was thrown from the coaster in front of another train and then ran over by the other train.
Yeah, that is the sideways one.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they first thought of roller coasters, that's one of the first roller coasters. They didn't think to put you facing forward. It was like literally they're like, oh, let's just put a park
sideways.
Bench on wheels. That's what they thought. Like, they sat in a bench and then went sideways.
Yeah.
You sat sideways on the roller coaster. How weird, right? They probably That's thought, weird. Oh, you'll have a view of the scenery next to the coaster. Like, you'll look out at the scenery as instead
maybe.
Of looking from the
yeah,
driver
maybe
experience.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, you're looking. Because, you can see the park better or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that, know, that coaster experience. Killed three people, though.
Because the thing is, I grew up having an aversion to amusement parks mm-hmm. because my mom, when she was a little girl, and I have no idea what amusement park it is, it would have been somewhere near Detroit in the 1950s, and she was in line to get on a roller coaster. She was getting ready to get on a roller coaster, and the car completely fucking derailed, flew Ooh. Off the roller coaster, killed some people when it hit, killed everyone on it. They had to shut the place down. Wow. I'm sure it was a rickety bullshit 1950s right. thing, yeah. but like my entire life, whenever we wanted to go to an amusement park, you know, mom would be like, hey, we've got some money at summer. Where do you want to go? We'd be like, hey, let's go to Six Flags because there was one near Michigan. And she would be like, nope, we're not going to Six Flags. Like, she was traumatized and she hated.
Wow.
So if I ever went to an amusement park, it was with friends or with my dad. I just grew up with her saying, don't trust the rides.
Yeah.
Don't trust how they're
yeah.
built. Don't trust
well,
dirty meth head carnies.
It doesn't matter if they were built right and proper. If there's a loose
you know,
screw
some
or
shit,
a bolt.
Like
or,
some stress I mean, something.
The Batman ride, a kid ran over the fences, over two fences with warning signs.
To get his hat.
And his head was punted off.
Oh yeah, the guy that got decapitated.
Yeah,
that's real. Yeah, I always thought that was urban.
And that was
real.
The one in that was here. That was at Six Flags
Magic
Mountain,
California.
Yeah.
This one in Alberta, Canada, is called the Mindbender. You didn't want to be on this ride on this day. It says it was missing bolts on the left side of the wheel assembly as the last car caused the four car train to disengage from the track. The final car fishtailed widely, colliding with the support structures, throwing off passengers. Stalling at the final loop, sliding backwards, and then crashing into a concrete pillar. It says that three of the people in the car were killed either by falling to the ground or hanging off the track.
Ugh.
So they're just, I mean, probably fell and hit the bottom part of the right. loop or something. Right. Like,
you guys ever ride a Thunder Mountain Railroad?
No.
Yeah.
Where like the dinosaur bones are sticking out at Disney? Well, that one always scared me. Like, I always felt like those dinosaur bones were going to hit my head for some reason. I always felt uneasy.
And you just have a bar in front of you and that thing rides fast.
It's like rough. That thing just beats you around. You're not really strapped in. You're sitting in a cart. That one derailed and a guy died at Disneyland, at our Disneyland. Last cart landed on the first cart and smashed the dude in the front cart and killed him.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned those bones and I was looking a little bit at sort of the psychology of amusement parks.
Right.
And a big part of it is they design the rides so that there is a low beam that you're riding past because that scares you and it makes it more thrilling.
Yeah.
They make the chains sound rickety and clanky.
Right. Yeah,
when you're climbing a hill, they want the wood
it builds,
to creak because you're like, oh, fuck, this wood's all creaky. Listen to that chain. And then
we're
going to
die.
It's like, look at that beam. That's going to fucking hit us. But it's actually like an illusion and it's 12 feet above you. But they build curves where it looks like you're going to hit that tree.
Yeah.
And it's like they design it psychologically.
That's what makes it fun, though.
The other thing that I read is that they've done studies on like if you get like a fast pass or whatever so you don't have to wait in line.
Right.
And there's a drastic reduction in satisfaction of the roller coaster experience
roller coaster.
From people who got the fast pass and didn't have to wait online versus people who had to wait in line for an hour.
Yeah.
So if you had to wait in line, you enjoyed the ride more than if you just got on the ride. So you standing there for an hour and a half is part of what makes you think that 30 seconds was worth it. And if you just get on it and you're on it for 30 seconds, you're like, that was fucking stupid.
Nah, I'll just write it three
times.
You just shoot
through the rides real quick. Right. Yeah. So I have one last one that I thought was cool. There's actually one more that's supposed to be deadlier, but this one was better. This is a ride in Shenzhen, China. And I think this is like the fake Disneyland because this is called the Space Journey. And it's a ride like Star Wars at Disneyland.
Okay.
So you get into a capsule that
like
moves.
The Star Tours.
Yeah, the Star Tours thing. It moves and you have the screen in front of you. So it says, during the ride, one of the cars suddenly came loose and lost all power. The dome, which was basically the big screen, ricocheted around the chamber and started an electrical fire before plunging out of the sky 35 feet to the ground with more than 44 people inside. Ugh. So the whole fucking thing just came off. Six people were killed, five were critically injured, and five more sustained serious injuries. Most of the people taken to the hospital were unconscious. So they just fucking knocked them out.
Wow.
Fucking hit the ground. These rides, I mean.
And that's funny because because I was raised that way, I don't like or trust roller coasters. But if I was at an amusement park and I saw a ride like Star Tours, I'd be like, oh, that's going to be totally safe. Like,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're actually in the air. And when that thing goes crashing down,
like a lot of hydraulics and power and
you're screwed pretty
much. I read
much.
Another one a lot like the one Brad just said, but I can't remember where it was at. It might have been Knott's Berry Farm or a Knott's Berry Farm-esque one. It was a haunted house that burned down.
Oh, that was the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go for it. We're not on the time limit. Tell it.
Man.
Well, I'll tell my version of it. Yeah. I know some of the facts. Like a fire broke out in a haunted mansion and the people were trapped inside because it's kind of a contained ride. You don't just get to open the doors in the haunted mansion and run out.
Right.
Sometimes at strategic points, there are exits in case of an emergency. Eight teenagers were burned to the point that they didn't know whether those were just mannequins from the ride.
Yeah, they were burnt beyond recognition.
At the end of it. So eight teenagers died and they had to be identified with their dental records. And there's a huge lawsuit because there was inadequate sprinklers and exits and whatnot.
Because
it was considered arson, an act of arson, the theme park got no liability for it.
No, I heard that they thought it was arson, but the reason there was no liability was because it wasn't a permanent structure.
Oh, weird.
Read
that part.
It didn't need sprinklers and all the safety stuff because it was just a thrown up structure. It wasn't permanent.
Well, that's good to know.
So was their liability. Hold on, I'm getting there right now. Yeah, but that sucks. The pictures of it are crazy too because it looks shitty. Like it looks like, like a Halloween, like it's called the Haunted Castle and it just looks like a shitty fucking building that
it's
you
fucking
go
haunted
in.
Now.
Yeah, it is haunted
it's
now.
Gone. Did you guys see the one where the girl at Disneyland, she was like 18 years old and got smashed between the walls?
Nuh-uh.
Really?
No.
So there was a ride back in the day called Sing America and this girl was just working a summer job. And what it was a giant four-stage rotating circle that rotated within a structure. So the whole stage would rotate and then a new stage would be, you know, present for the audience so that everyone else was just ready on the next stage as it rotated. Well, somehow this girl got caught between the rotating stage and the permanent wall and it just crushed, smashed, and drug her between it. And everyone could hear screaming and whatnot and they thought it was part of the show. And then finally, like, they got to her, but she died. Like, I mean, it was like you weren't supposed to be able to fit between the wall. Like, it didn't seem like a factor. And somehow she got pulled in and drug and smashed and smeared. Just imagine like a circle room with a wall that is also a circle surrounding that room and just enough room that maybe a thin person could get into it. And then it was just rotating and smashing her. The only way I imagine they got her back
out. She got steamrolled.
Yeah, that's they probably had to cut the section out or something or roll it back and just smear her out. Horrible death. That
roll,
was in like
roll
the
it
70s.
Back and smear her out.
Yeah, and that was at Disneyland. Like, that's a documented.
It's
that
like a line from an R. Kelly song.
Yeah. Roll that baby out.
And I know statistically speaking, every year the Six Flag chain has 16 million visitors. And from what I had read, in the course of a 13-year span, there were 55 deaths at amusement parks.
Yikes.
So statistically speaking, you're pretty fucking cool. Yeah, 16 million a year, 55 deaths every 13 years. Odds are nothing's going to go wrong.
That's pretty strict.
But I just,
somebody always dies, though.
Somebody always dies. I just don't trust. I don't trust carnies.
A fair carny slash kind of one where this thing would like – it was like multiple carts on rotating rotating arms,
and then they were,
the people weren't strapped in yet. They were getting off.
Oh,
and the guy bumped the thing or something. And
it killed one of the workers checking the seatbelts, huh?
Nope. I know the story. You want me to tell it?
Go ahead.
I will if you let me tell it. So there's rotating little carnival ride with multiple people. As they're exiting the ride, the carnival guy bumps the button and turns it back on while everyone unbuckled their seatbelt, and it just started flinging people through the air and landing on the asphalt. Ugh. And then when they looked over, the carnival guy was on the ground in tears crying because he hit the button. It was a fair type thing, yeah.
Well, there was another one just like that. The reason I said about the seatbelts was they were a woman was working the ride checking the seatbelts, and one of the same type of rides was like this crazy like three pod fucking spinner thing, and fucking somebody hit the button and one of the rides just fucking spun and took that chick out and killed her.
How hard would workers. It be to make it be flip this switch and then you can hit the button?
No, it's just the red button.
Like, just fucking like how about an extra safety protocol than just a big fucking button that my drunken carny ass can bump into murder people?
There was one more where like a 12-year-old kid saw his mom get flung off the ride. And the worst part about this one was that she expressed concern. She's like, his thing clicked 3 times, the shoulder thing or whatever. Mine only clicked once. And she's like, no. Mine only clicked once. And they're like, no, if it clicked, you're good. If it clicked, you're good. And it's good. But she's like, no, his clicked 3 times. How come mine only clicked once? First drop, flew off 120 feet to her death. Then they had to finish the fucking ride. You know what I mean?
While he's sitting there after his mom just died riding the ride, the worst ride of his
just
life.
Just crying through the adrenaline loops.
His mom's gone.
You think he accidentally smiled a couple times like, woohoo, dang it, no, my mom, mom. But yeah, he got off, and like, they're like, oh my God, no, she got thrown, and she totally told them it only clicked once. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it adds to the fun, I guess. It's an extra factor if you know that you really might die.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I mean that does add to those, I mean, it adds to the, like I said, if they're doing tricks when they design it to make it sound rickety and creepy, like that makes you when you're going up a rickety sounding thing, you're honestly thinking, oh shit, is this thing actually safe? And like that adds to the thrill.
I love roller coasters. I'm like the thrill seeker, so
I've never liked them.
Really? If the biggest baddest one I can get on, I'm trying to get on it, you know.
Never liked them.
I'll tell you what, my son is 6, and if he was over 42 inches, he would ride whatever they would let him.
Yeah. Really?
Fearless. Yeah. It's insane. He doesn't care.
Until he gets on the one where the car flies off the track.
Yeah.
Right.
That might be the way it goes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, just show him some videos of those where they're just jacked up rides where people are getting thrown off, and then see if he wants to go on one.
Yeah, I read an amusement park stat that doesn't deal with death that I thought was very interesting. And it said the average amusement park goer goes on 4 rides in the course of the day because the lines are so long.
Fuck.
That's about right. If it's busy,
That might be right. And then you buy a $30.
You got to pick which ride you want
to
go on.
That's fucking gnarly. Yeah. It's like I just spent $100-something to walk in here, and I'm only going to get to go on 4 rides?
Yeah, total.
If you think that the line's about an hour and a half.
Right.
You know, you get in line, it's an hour and a half. So that's what? 3-6 hours right there. So
yeah, I mean, you got to plan. And I know, like, my friend that goes to Disney all the time, I know when you get a season pass, you get a free fast pass for one ride.
Yeah.
So that one ride you can go on as many times as you want
Disneyland, the rides, like, yeah, you want to go on Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe, like, Indiana Jones or something, you know, but, like, I just like walking around there. Like, the ambiance is cool.
Yeah, they
like,
do a good job making it.
The show's
making
cool. Yeah, you go at Christmas and it snows, you know, the bubble snow, and you know, it's fun for the kids.
I always
want
to watch one of those shows, but I'm like, we're not, it's going to be over. Like, I'm going to sit through and not watch the show. That's why the Legoland thing was good for me, because a 2-day pass, we had some deals, like $59 for 2 days at Legoland.
And the San Diego Zoo and the Safari Park, they have like a package you can do. Like, it's like a 3-day
Wild Animal Park.
You can go to these three. You know, you go to the zoo, the Wild Animal Park, and something else.
We should do zoo tragedies, like tigers eating kids or something, for an episode. Crazy. Yeah. Dave can show us the abuse of animals and why they shouldn't be in zoos.
That's right.
And we can argue that maybe we saved monkeys that couldn't have survived in the wild anyway. And then we'll get to talk about how some kid fell in a tiger pit
and got eaten.
That was the Cliff Notes.
Yeah. that's my outline.
Coming soon.
And then throw in a dash of Ron Burgundy getting stuck in a bear cage with Baxter saving him.
And then also we forget what we talk about right after this, so it's not going to happen. Yeah. So you just heard another episode. Just think about that.
Remind us that we want an alternate reality episode. I want to tell Dave one fact about amusement parks because we're probably running out of time and stuff. But sex crimes, you know, this is a direct quote here. Sex crimes since 2006, 35 known cases at amusement parks, 32 of which resulted in convictions, most of which in Florida.
Of course.
I mean, it's probably because of the concentration of
amusement parks. Sure, there's a density of amusement parks in Florida, but
But 35 and 32 got convictions. That's pretty.
But the thing is, I can't imagine that we don't have as many amusement parks in California.
You know, amusement parks are full of kids, though. It's just creepy. Obviously, there's going to be. If you're a predator, if you want to go fishing, you go to the ocean.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to Disneyland.
If you're a pedophile, you're headed to Disneyland. Yeah. I wish there was like a pedophile detector. You get glasses and you could see the pedo in them.
Oh, like the They Live glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you see the pedophiles.
You see that might be
I'm
not
I'm sure
good.
Law enforcement wishes there were those glasses, too. Yes. Yeah. And parents everywhere.
Well, anybody got anything?
I think I'm pretty
My notes are all highlighters scratched out.
Stay off of rickety rides.
Yeah.
And don't let your kids go to amusement parks in Florida. And
keep them close. Yeah.
And don't get on the trebuchet.
No,
in the United Kingdom, because you will fly to your death.
Yeah,
those are for pumpkins and medieval war.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. That's pretty.
That's
much
if
it.
You're trying to get past that castle wall.
That's
not
it.
To get thrown into a net.
Nope. Nope.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got. Visit Banksy's if you're in the UK. Actually, they're tearing it down now, so it's probably not there anymore.
Yeah, but so you missed your shot. Good
check
job,
it out online. Loser. You guys suck. You guys are slow. So. Can I insult the fans anymore? Do we have fans? Do we have fans?
I don't know if we have fans.
I don't think we have fans.
I think we have listeners.
We have listeners, and they want to find us. They want to catch us fucking up. I think that's what they want
to
do.
Yeah. It happens. We try to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't like the episode, that's fine. You can listen to another episode. Yeah. I'll still be sad, though. That's my sad voice. I want to make everybody happy, but we can't.
You want to thank our sponsors?
Yeah. Red Ridge Beard Co., thank you for your contribution, sir. We need to try to show you some more love. I did just send out a prize in the mail to one of our winners last week. Finally, someone with a beard got some beard oil. So we sent that out.
And shout out his name, too.
Oh, Brian Ross. Yep. You are receiving a package, which is funny. He's actually on his way into Bakersfield. I just saw that fan is going to be in town. I could have saved myself $10 on shipping.
Not shipped it to Oregon.
I sent a box all the way to Oregon. I might ship
again.
Waited.
Again, fuck you, Brian. Yeah. I mean,
he was mad because apparently he grows a solid beard. And I started looking at pictures and I was like, he does have a beard. I forgot.
Yeah, you made fun of him and then gave him a prize.
Know, he's, that's like a, he's like 6'7". That's the defining factor. He's a big guy. Like, I just didn't think
like a
beard.
String bean.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Looks like Olive from Popeye.
And thank you, as always, to Digital Creations for making coffee mugs and coffee cups and bottle openers and t-shirts and all the cool stuff that you make us. You guys should definitely check out Digital Creations if you need a giant blanket for grandma with your kids' pictures on it.
Yep.
That's a cool place to get it. You can convert your VHS tapes to DVD, audio cassette tapes, all kinds of weird stuff. She can put your face on everything.
VHS, the VCR show, when's that air?
Project VCR, the next episode, the one that matters, the one that I'm on. I think I did okay. We recorded that.
Don't listen to any of the other ones, but the one that's going to air with Brent, you can listen to that one.
I'm scared, but you can check it out. I was in the shadow of two great men, but that will come out on October 21st. That is the date that Marty went to the future, so that's the date they're releasing the episode. We talked about Back to the Future 2 and all this stuff about hoverboards and where the hell are they and all that good stuff. So it was fun.
Actually, there are hoverboards now.
It's the Hendo, though. Yeah, it sucks, man. Suck. It's like 1 inch off the ground. It weighs 100 pounds, and you have to be on a metal ramp.
Right. So what? It's there.
Well, hoverboards still don't work on water. That's my quote for that. don't forget to log on to Amazon.com. If you like sci-fi, you should check out Dave Moten's novel, Chama, New Mexico, a 6-paradigm novel. And am I forgetting anybody? Baco Skate Co. needs to give us something to give away if you want to get mentioned again.
Yeah.
You bastards.
And Dagny's, you need to sponsor Brent because he buys coffee there every day.
I know. That's
true. And I'm coffee brings poor. People there. Only people only come there because of Brent.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yep.
They heard I hang out there. I don't really hang out there. I run in, get my coffee, and run out. But
it's because he's Bieber famous.
Mm-hmm.
Bieber. Block. Downtown Bieber. That's what they call him. All right. That's the show. Visit at an amusement park near you and don't be a retard.